hurricanes, earthquakes, we in the end times. They gave his babies to the Gators, don't forget now. He delivered us from Egypt, about to do it all again. Finding out that we the people, so we putting down our sins. Father, we wanna go home, Abba, please let us in. Oh, and no one to your word, cause you about to send your winds. Abba, keep us from the hour of temptation. Trusting in your word, we just waiting. Come get us from these nations. Abba, keep us from the trickery of Satan. Trusting in your word, not these nations. We in the tribulation.
We get what we deserve. Oh, we get more. Tell me, we get what we deserve. Oh, we get
blue.
Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
Hey y'all, what's up? This is FaZe. First of all, I want to thank the Most High for all he do for us, y'all, knowingly and unknowingly. Second of all, I want to thank Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, bringing us back to the Most High bosom. Thank you, Yahweh, and thank you, Yahweh Shai, for all you do for us, knowingly and unknowingly. I want to give a shout out to them street boys, them street preachers. I want to give y'all a shout out. Y'all keep doing the work. Y'all keep doing the work. Y'all keep doing the work. I want to thank all my people that are listening to me. The interstate, the outer state. I know you ain't have to do it, but you gave your little time that you have just to let me tickle in your ear for a moment. And I appreciate it, y'all. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, getting out of our square, working on our IQ and all that is a great thing. Individual work is a great thing. Seeking knowledge is a great thing. And checking up on the world news, that's what I'm on. So now we on this thing about Israel, so y'all fam, you know, I know some of y'all probably would like to hear me want to talk all the time and all that, but I want y'all, I don't know nothing about this news, y'all. I don't know what's going on. I'm surfing this so y'all can get it, and why, you know what I'm saying, so y'all can get on with the getting on. So we all know, I'm checking it out like y'all. You know what I'm saying? And you know, so we checking out what's going on, how Israel gonna hit this, because we got to be prepared, man. We have to be. And Bible prophecy said that Russia gonna send a bomb over here. How? What gonna make Russia be a position to shoot a bomb over here? What position is that gonna happen? How is that gonna happen? It gonna happen out of the blues? Or is it gonna happen while this manifested? Because Russia already told United States, Russia and China already told United States they need to chill. So, you know, like I told Putin and them, when y'all start shooting them damn missiles, y'all need to be having y'all GPS on the right people. The common man, the common woman in America ain't got shit to do with it. We forced into some shit that I ain't even got nothing to do with it. I'm stolen property. You know what I'm saying? I didn't ask to get into this mess. I was born into this mess. So, me being there, born into this mess, I got to be a part of a mess that I don't want to be. Now, all of a sudden, a World War III going to jump off, and I ain't got shit to do with it. We ain't got shit to do with it. You got all these billionaires was a part of the bullshit, and now they sitting up there in the bunkers. That's where the missiles need to learn where they at. We ain't do nothing but working, trying to pay bills, trying to live and love our family, and now this is what we get. Now somebody just told the doors off our homes, and everybody in the wind and the dogs and the cat and anything can walk in. That's the problem that we're gonna have to learn, and this is what we're gonna have to learn as a nation from now on. That's why I be trying to tell everybody in this whole world this. We don't need to have people governing us like this, man. We already see how the crafty council is when people getting paid off. People elected people to go out here and do the right thing. Then they get paid off, and then they act like they don't know what they supposed to be doing. All they doing is wickedness over dollar bill, doo-doo paper, selling people out over doo-doo paper. This is what, when all this stuff ends and things start, we need to have a new mindset, how we gonna govern and how the people gonna govern the governed. Because we can't repeat and do this same retarded stuff back over again. We have to learn from history. Because the black man and the black woman, we already learned from history. And I hear that New York supposed to be snatching people out of their houses and shit like that. You know, black man and black woman, we already been through that snatching shit and taking our families. And you think we gonna allow you to come out here and just take our families just like they did to our forefathers? If we do, we suck. Y'all deserve to do it. If y'all come over here and do that and be successful at it, you deserve to do it. That's why I say. But I don't think that's gonna happen. See, these are the things that they trying to do and bully and all this other, with all this gun might, with all this other stuff. But without them bullets, I wish the Most High stop all of these bullets and let everybody go from knock, knock to knock, knock. And see who gonna be the real rulers. But nah, only cowards wanna go out here and shoot bullets and kill innocent people. Because they wanna narrate a certain situation. I don't know. We all in this and make it so bad, you know. The black man, the black woman, Latino man, Latino woman, the Native Indian man, and the Native Indian woman, we weren't even in this. We was being genocide in America by the non-pigmentation man and the non-pigmentation woman. We was being genocide. So, now look at this mindset, y'all. If they go out here and think that we going back into what had because the ideology of the non-pigmentation man is more Caucasian people than people of hue. And the non-pigmentation man and the non-pigmentation woman don't know that the world is tired of them. They tired of their rulership. They tired of you being the face of the world. And they tired of just being sick and tired. The oppression, the bullying, the wickedness, the crafty counseling. Why be born in this world? And being born in this world to be supposed to be a blessing. To come into this world, your spirit come into this world with a flesh to enjoy and touch and love and enjoy this world. Now you come into this world and you want to jump back into your mama womb. What the fuck is this? And all these leaders out here, now, see, this one thing y'all can never say about us. Y'all can't say nothing about me, about what I'm talking about right now, because we already got captive stole from our hometown and molested, and then and still in captivity right now. We're still in captivity right now, and nobody else ain't trying to get us out of captivity. But at the end of the day, the whole world going to give us our minerals. The whole world going to bow down. And the one that too proud to do it, it's a consequence. But you always have to reap what you sow. What goes around must come around. But how around is it gonna come? Is it just gonna come around and hit you in the head like a baseball bat? Or is it gonna come around and cut you up like a doggone machete? My life. So what's going on, fam? And they getting ready to blow up this whole world. And we ain't got nothing to do with it. And it's a shame, y'all. The people who trying to come up never had a chance to come up, because we got other clowns out here want to blow up the whole world. We got clowns out here trying to rape people's minds and make them bow down to their wickedness, their unjust, their unrighteousness. That's why the Most High got to come back down here. Because everything has been distorted. Everything needs to be set back in order. And the Bible says always a time. So we seeing all this war coming. The Bible says it's time for war and the time for peace. So we at the time for war. We in the war era. And the Bible said it's a time for peace. So if we're in this war era, what are we going to do?
Reports over the past few minutes is that Israel may be attacking Iran today. This is information they're saying that was just leaked, and someone knows something, because listen to what's been happening that has just been starting to get reported by the mainstream media news outlets. As I mentioned, Wall Street Journal, BBC, NBC, I'm seeing is on it. Iranian air defense is now mobile. The US, Germany, and France is urging their people to leave Iran now. Qatar has banned all flights over any Iranian airspace. So now other nations nearby are saying avoid Iran. And this all just coming out moments ago. And also Benjamin Netanyahu, as we've been seeing reported from several news media outlets. But now, as I mentioned, NBC News saying Benjamin Netanyahu summoned a meeting, and he summoned fellow leaders of their alliance forces for a special meeting. And it is very likely that something big is going to be happening as a result. Wall Street Journal has posted just a little while ago that Israel could be attacking today, We had heard calls that they said that it was going to be, quote, when the time was right. Now we're hearing that that time could be now. And it has been about 48 hours since we have seen the largest drone attack in history against Israel. And now they are saying there is no way it is going to go unanswered.
Right now, the people of Niger are determined to free themselves. The people of Mali are determined to free themselves. The people in that part of Africa were lied to after America bombed Libya, and they flooded that region with weapons, and they allowed these racist jihadists, so-called Muslims, they unleashed them on the African continent. And these so-called Muslims, these so-called jihadists who are affiliated with Al-Qaeda, some of them call themselves Al-Shabaab, some of them call themselves Boko Haram, all of them have been secretly financed from Washington and from NATO and the Europeans to create havoc in West Africa, so that while the African governments are preoccupied trying to fight these destabilizing forces, the West can continue to take the oil, take the gold, take the uranium, take the manganese, take the diamonds. They can continue to rape the African continent. But the Africans have woken up to the scheme. And they understand now that the Americans, the French, the British, they were never there to fight terrorism, but they were there to enable the so-called terrorists. That's what they were there doing all this time. And that's why very soon they're already talking about helping the so-called rebels. They don't use the term terrorists, but there are rebel groups who now want to go to war against Niger, and they will be financed from the West. They'll be given weapons from the West. But I'm saying to you, doesn't matter what you do, you will fail today. And let me end on this. Russia and Vladimir Putin, before it became the Russian Federation, it was the Soviet Union. And during our struggle for liberation on the continent of Africa, it was the Soviet Union. It was the Chinese who helped to train many of our liberation fighters. It was the Russians, the Soviet Union, where we could go to Moscow and go and study how to fight military wars. It was the Russians and the Chinese who gave us our Kalashnikov. It was the Russians and the Chinese. And even though some of our puppet leaders pretend that they've got short memories, many of the new generation of leaders coming up, we remember who was our friend then and who's our friend now. And so the West is very upset. Oh, looks like Wagner, the musicians from Russia are going to go into Africa. Wagner, yeah, that's right, Wagner. Wagner is going to fight. Wagner is going to help the Africans. Following the tradition, Wagner, the Russians, are going to help the Africans to liberate themselves from the imperialist.
It's a map of the Holy Land drawn in 1709. You got it at a flea market. It's hand-colored, copper engraved. You're going to put it in the outer office.
This outer office?
Yeah, no.
Why?
Why? Yeah.
Because some people are going to find it offensive.
Why?
Doesn't recognize Israel.
It was drawn in 1709.
Yeah.
There was no Israel.
Right.
Israel wouldn't happen for another 250 years.
Yeah.
So what's the problem with the map?
Some people are going to find it offensive.
Why?
It doesn't recognize Israel.
Take lunch, would you?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Wait. I want to show you this great map Charlie found.
Sir, I know that. You can't put it up in the West Wing.
See, Jack.
It doesn't recognize Israel.
There was no Israel in 1709.
That's right.
So it's not on the map.
Which is what some people are going to find offensive.
That's ridiculous.
You know what would be great?
If I put it someplace else?
Yeah.
Time to intercept an unprecedented attack from Iran. The IDF was also involved in very heavy back and forth fighting with Hezbollah. The Iran-backed group launched a significant number of rockets from southern Lebanon into the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights area on the border with Syria early Sunday. Hezbollah, which has threatened to retaliate against against Israel for the bombing of Iran's consulate in Damascus, issued a statement saying the attacks were in support of Palestinians in Gaza. And this comes after the IDF says it carried out airstrikes on Hezbollah targets inside Lebanon, including a large military complex run by Hezbollah. The stepped-up attacks raising concerns right now that the conflict could spread throughout the region. CNN's Ben Wiedemann is in Beirut for us. Ben.
We told you about the U.S. bases. Now let's talk about the countries hosting them, the Arab nations of West Asia. When Iran launched its attack, one thing struck most observers. Jordan shot down the Iranian drones and missiles. Jordan, a Muslim Arab nation, took up arms to defend Israel. A country with a queen of Palestinian heritage defended Israel. Can you imagine the domestic headache this causes? It's why Jordan is pretending it did not help very much.
Yesterday, we dealt with some flying objects that entered our airspace and were confronted to prevent them from endangering the safety of our citizens and populated residential areas. The debris fell in multiple areas during that time without causing any damage or injuries among citizens.
Jordan is doing its best to show that it was just protecting itself, not Israel. We'll soon see if their people buy this explanation, but Jordan is not the only Arab state that helped Israel. It's the only one that did it so publicly. A lot of others helped in secret. Reports say that Saudi Arabia and the UAE were also involved. They shared intelligence about the Iranian attack. And that's not all. Arab nations also opened their airspace, allowing Israel's British and American allies to defend it. The Arabs host Western air defense systems, surveillance and refueling aircraft as well. All of this would have been used in the defense of Israel. So most Arab nations did help protect Israel from Iran. But we should mention something else here. This was not some betrayal of the Iranians or the greater Muslim cause for that matter. It's nothing like that. Iran wanted the Arab countries to pass along this information to the US. Tehran likely wanted the attack to fail. As we mentioned yesterday, the attack was to save face, to put up a good show for the domestic audience. Iran doesn't want an all-out war with Israel. If it did, it would have attacked long ago. Iran had to react to the destruction of its embassy in Syria. They also had to make sure that they did not actually hurt Israel too much. And how do you ensure that? Telegraph your attack via Arab-backed channels. The plan seems to have worked. Iran can say it attacked. Israel did not really suffer any serious damage. The US can say they protected their ally. And the Arab countries, minus Jordan, can pretend that they're not involved. Everyone wins. Well, except the Iranian, Israeli, and American taxpayers. They paid for the fireworks show after all. But then taxpayers always lose. Everyone else walks away with a victory. But how did it come to this? How are the Arab nations suddenly helping the Israelis? Who, until a few years ago, were the ultimate enemy? It boils down to self-interest. Most of the Arab states are rich. Take Saudi Arabia and the UAE, for example. They make billions through oil. They already have giant buildings and sports cars on every other street. These countries want to spend their wealth on development or prepare for an oil-free future, like Saudi Arabia, which is building futuristic cities and buying entire sports. These rich Arab states do not want to be slowed down, especially because of a war between two of their former enemies. If a war breaks out, everything goes up in smoke. Arab airspace will be compromised regularly. Misfired weapons will damage their infrastructure. Their air bases will constantly be used by the US, making them targets. It will be almost impossible for the Arab nations to avoid getting sucked into this conflict, so they would rather just avoid the war altogether and focus on improving their nations. They've been trying to do this for years now. Take the UAE and Bahrain. These two countries recognized Israel back in 2020 after the US-led Abraham Accords. It took years of diplomacy to bring this about, to de-escalate the situation between Israel and the Arab nations. Saudi Arabia was widely expected to follow suit, but hopes for that were dashed last October with the Hamas attack and the following Israel-Hamas war. Now, an Israel-Iran war will be much worse. It will derail all the plans the rich Arab nations have laid out, which is why these countries will try and prevent a war at any cost.
See, you know, we see all this now. People don't want the war, this and that and this and whatever. We're going to see if the Bible gonna be the truth or not. Because I hear a lot of people say the Bible's a lie. I said, okay, we'll see. That's all we can do is see. So far, it's looking good for me. But anyway, you know, we see all the help that they tried. This is the people she said that recognize Israel as a state. So these people right there recognize those Israel that in our land is the people. Because they fail to realize that if they with the beast, they gonna die with the beast when the Most High come. The Most High already said he gonna deal with America and America and the ones that helping America. But we'll see. We'll see if the Bible's a lie. We'll see. We will see, right? Because most of y'all, I don't know, man. He, I don't know. I think they scared for war, or they want to do this tit for tat, or they playing bluffing. Now, this is why I don't understand. They playing bluffing, right? And a whole lot of people in Pakistan had died because these people out here destroying all these people and everybody. You hear all these other nations helping Israel for this, but they're not telling Israel to stop or forcing Israel to stop doing what they're doing, killing these people. Told you. It's getting wild, y'all. It's getting wild. You know, Israel sitting up here, got the Palestine people hungry, starving, and killing them, and destroying them, and slaughtering them, and them other nations ain't saying nothing. So why didn't the other nation didn't say nothing? See, they went to BS. Now Iran see who they got to deal with, and how to work their little situation with their situation. Because he's trying to say this is an airway, this and that. And the United States got them clowns by the balls. Wherever you go, if the United States dealing with you, they got you by the balls some way, somehow. Or you in some kind of crafty council, getting ready to get caught up. But we'll see. We'll see. We seeing all this madness that these people putting out in this world, y'all. We don't even care. We're not even ashamed. But I tell y'all this now, common man, common woman in this world, You see how these leaders are. I hope y'all checking out these leaders and how they doing and what their mindset is. Y'all always want to get leaders that be talking that slick stuff or this and that, but they ain't really about that business. You know what I'm saying? But look at that. All these leaders that out here say they're going to do this, they say they're going to do that, they ain't not about that business. Those Jewish people are ruling everything, man. So if they're ruling everything, and if this bomb just hit them and did it, what still is going to happen when they're trying to get that land over there to get that natural gas and plan out the plan that they got going on? What consequence? I ain't heard no consequence on Israel going to jail. I ain't heard no consequence on the whole world putting the brakes on Israel. Where they at? See, I can talk like this because I'm stolen property. Regardless of what you do to us in America, black man and black woman, we stolen property. The whole world turned against us. The whole world turned against the black man, the black woman, the Native Indian man, the Native Indian woman, the Latino man, and the Latino woman.
Get that horse and his wagon. Get that man and his rifle. Get that priest and his Bible. For them that's dead on arrival. Them that pray see heaven. Them that don't see devil. Separate but equal. Say them that slave my people. So break them chains and shackles. Come again. Get that horse and his wagon. Get that man and his rifle. Get that priest and his Bible. For them that's dead on arrival. Them that pray see heaven. Them that don't see devil. Separate but equal. Say them that slave my people. So break them chains and shackles. Not again.
It looks like the U.S. is finally starting to doubt its airstrike strategy against the Houthis. You fucking think? We've been told y'all not to do this shit. It wasn't gonna work. Baby, let's get into this because this is hilarious. There is growing concern in the Biden administration that despite repeated airstrikes, the Houthis continue to target ships in the Red Sea. The Pentagon stated, we know that the Yemeni force, maintained a large arsenal. They are very capable. They have sophisticated weapons, and that's because they continue to get them from Iran, which is true. They have came out and stated that they have, but they didn't tell us where it was. America obviously found out where they were and continue to bomb the areas that they're, for those who don't know, their stuff is underneath the ground. I'm not going to tell you where, but America and Great Britain have been trying to bomb that area for weeks now, and they have been extremely unsuccessful using the bunker blaster and several other missiles, and they've been unsuccessful. Now, this news comes shortly after the Yemeni force, the YF boys, stated, we are not among those who fear America. Our stance is only for Allah. Now, they've held the same stance since the beginning of time, baby. They made it perfectly clear. We bow down to nobody except Allah. We don't give a damn. We don't give a damn what weapons you got. We don't care how many times you bomb our country. We don't give a hook. We said we ain't scared of you, and it is what it is. We not moving out the Red Sea. You just gonna have to keep throwing the temper tantrum, baby. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Tell your boy to get up out of our cousin's homeland, and then we could talk. But until then, we're not moving. You're just gonna have to be a broke bitch, the broke bitch that we all know you are. So basically, right now, for those of you who don't know, America is feeling some type of way because them bombs ain't ain't shaking nobody. As I told y'all before, bad, like, they don't give a fuck. Like, them bombs ain't doing a damn thing. They haven't missed one Friday holding their shoes in the air, basically pointing directly towards Israel. They haven't, the Yemeni people haven't stopped doing a damn thing. They said, we don't give a fuck. They literally proceeded on with their day. Because to them, that's a normal day. For those of you who don't know, almost every single one of the last presidents of the past century, they have had some kind of hands in the bombing going on in Yemen. So for them, this is, baby, them little bombs ain't doing nothing. Not a damn thing. And the timing of all this seems a bit suspicious to me because, as we stated earlier, 200,000 new fighters in Yemen have joined the Ansarullah movement. I hope I said that correctly. Bringing the total strength of the Houthi army to around 500,000 fighters. Now, earlier I reported it was in the millions. That was incorrect. The amount of 2.2 million is the actual civilians that have been coming out protesting against the genocide going on in Palestine. So those are the innocent Yemeni civilians that have been protesting. Still, they have the Yemeni force fighter spirit because they have been showing up and showing out every single day. Through the entire fall, winter, they don't care. They're currently being bombed consistently by America and the UK. They don't give a damn. They've just proceeded to live their life. You know, they go to work every day. Y'all hear about that bomb that happened? Yeah, I heard about it. Just another day, which is sad because this is my country that's doing it to them and they've done nothing wrong. So you got damn right. I'm rooting for the Houthis. I'm rooting for the Yemeni force. I'm rooting for Yemen. So I don't know what else to tell y'all, but I'm rooting for them. Again, it brings their total army size up to 500,000 fighters. Damn. Yeah, America, I don't know what you finna do, but baby girl, you may want to sit this one out. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may want to go ahead and pack it in. Call it a dizzy. Call it a day. I don't know what else to tell you. And last but certainly not least, for y'all who missed it, another ship, UK ship, has been sank in the Red Sea. Now, for those of you who don't know, Yemen hasn't killed anyone yet. America told everyone that they killed a couple of Navy soldiers, which turned out later on was a lie because Yemen actually provided a video of said soldiers being escorted off of that parcel. And then the ship had to be towed back to the UK and whatever other ship. They said it was an American ship, but I think they were on a UK ship. I'm not too sure about those little small details. Nonetheless, I saw the video of those two Navy soldiers, and they did, in fact, make it off that ship. Why is this important? Because America's going to keep trying to tell us these lies. There's been 2 to 3 videos of several of the ships, the most recent one, the UK ships that were sank in the Red Sea, or they were literally, they was leaning, baby. They was sitting sideways, okay? Leaning, big leaning. Embarrassing for the UK. Your missiles don't work and your ships is trash. Yikes. You may want to go ahead and make them out of here. There's also videos, 3 to be exact, floating around Twitter right now of more soldiers being escorted off of these ships. And they were escorted to another ship that took them to a city, a safe city, and they flew home from that city. So Yemen has gone above and beyond to ensure that no one's life has been taken during the process of this war, proving to the entire world that you can literally be at war with someone, destroy their ship, and still not take a soul. It's possible. It is possible. The Western powers just don't want to. They love the idea of creating fear, living off of people's fear, creating pain, putting us up against each other. They love it. They love it. And for once in our lives, we are actually sticking together and saying, no, we just don't believe you. You're the problem. And we're just going to stick together. We're just gonna stick together. Because we don't believe you guys. And all y'all do is kill people and steal people's money, rape people. And the list is long. It's just pure evil. So what y'all think about this? Because it looks like the U.S. is finally getting to the point where they're shaking in their boots.
The devil is not attacking you because you are weak. The devil is attacking you because you are a threat. Because there is something valuable inside you. Remember, thieves don't try to break into empty houses. The devil couldn't take you out, so he's trying to wear you out. So don't you ever give in, because the tide is about to turn in your favor. God knows you're tired. He knows you're trying. Put him first. Trust him. He will make a way. Even when you aren't sure of the outcome, you can be sure of your God. He is with you. He is for you. And he is working all things together for your good. If you agree, comment.
I can't. Well, wait, I don't understand. What are you talking about?
So I can either give you a bank draft, or if you're going to get cash, I will need an invoice for the car purchase.
Why? No, I'd like to, it's for, if the car's payment's for in cash, I can't use a bank draft.
Are you buying from like a private?
Yeah, it's private. Person? It's literally from my friend.
From your friend?
Yeah, but he wants it in cash.
Can he give you like anything that you're purchasing from him?
No, I don't. You don't need that. Bro, what is it? I'm only asking for three. What is this? It's my money. I'm allowed to withdraw from my own bank account.
Yeah, so I can.
You said, what's the maximum limit you can give a withdrawal to a customer? It's $3,000 on the date. You've already mentioned that multiple times.
Yeah, not today.
Why not today?
Today I would need a bank draft or we're getting invoice.
But what? You need proof of what it is? Why is that? And why is that? Why is that? Why do you need me to tell you what it is? Why do you need, what kind of proof is that? I bring in a note? Like, how is that? What is that going to change? I don't understand.
So that way,
you need to give my money. I'm not taking a bank draft. I would like cash, please.
Yeah, I won't be able to
get cash. That way, I'm just going to sit here until you give me cash, so I'm not going to leave.
Okay, well, if you want, you can have a sit there.
And then do what? Who am I waiting for?
I can get the manager to talk to you.
Well, yeah, get the manager, because this is unbelievable.
I'm going to show you guys the company that owns the fucking world. By the time you get done this video, you're just not only going to be perplexed, you're going to feel cheated, violated, insulted, because the entire system is rigged. It's rigged against you from the moment you're born. I said it, and I'll continue to say it until you wake fucking up.
Most powerful man in the world. Some may say it is the President of the United States. Others may side with corporate America and deem the likes of Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk to be more powerful. But there is someone else. It is likely you have never heard of BlackRock. In less than 30 years, this company has grown from nothing to becoming the world's largest asset manager. The assets in the roster exceed...
Can somebody guess how many assets under management BlackRock has? So they talk about Elon, he's worth $200 billion. You got Jeff Bezos worth $100 billion, maybe a little bit less now. How much do you think these guys own of assets under management?
Deed the value of $9 trillion.
Nine fucking trillion dollars, bro.
Yeah, but he owns a Bugatti.
Bro, do you understand the players of the fucking game yet? Bro, some of you guys don't even know what nine fucking trillion dollars is. You can't even fathom it. These guys manage $9 trillion of wealth around the world. That means they dictate where they put the money and what is done with the money, and they have the influence because they control the money fucking supply, bro.
And their net worth is equal to half of America's GDP.
They run the fucking country from head to toe, and you're out here talking about Joe Schmo, bro.
Clearly, they do not need a name in the mainstream media to be successful, or in fact, own and control the entire world. But who are they? What do they do? And how does this one company in America influence every industry and sector in the world? Let's begin with who they are. BlackRock was founded in 1988 by Larry Fink, along with Robert Capito, Susan Wagner, Barbara Novick, Ben Golub, Hugh Frater, Ralph Schlosstein, and Keith Anderson. Its aim was to provide corporations with asset management services to help them manage their risks and investments. The idea came when Fink, during his time in First Boston, lost $100 million as its head. That experience became the motivation for him to develop what he and the others considered to be excellent risk management and fiduciary practices. BlackRock first got its funding from Pete Peterson of the Blackstone Group, who believed in Fink's vision of a firm devoted to risk management. Fink's company then essentially became an arm of Blackstone, and it was called Blackstone Financial Management. In exchange for a 50% stake in the bond business, Blackstone gave Fink and his team a $5 million credit line. Within months, the business turned profitable. And by 1989, the group's assets had quadrupled to $2.7 billion.
Bro, do you understand how these guys do whatever the fuck they want, bro? And you think you're sitting on your million, 2 million, 100,000, 200,000, you're out here popping bottles like you run shit, bro. You don't run shit.
Blackstone's stake in Fink's company then fell to just 40%, as opposed to the 60% held by Fink and his group. The firm adopted the name BlackRock in 1992, and by the end of that year, BlackRock was managing $17 billion in assets. By the end of 1994, they were handling $53 billion.
Now the question is, and I'm going to dissect this to you so you understand how deep and dark this shit goes. Whose assets? Right? That's not the problem here isn't BlackRock, is whose assets does BlackRock control? That's the crazy
And later that same year, Fink became the chairman and CEO of BlackRock Inc. The company went public in 1999 at just $14 a share on the New York Stock Exchange. And by the end of that year, they were handling $165 billion in assets. BlackRock grew both organically and by acquisitions. And in 2004,
do you know what acquisitions means? That they bought everything. They bought it all. Every last bit of it. They bought all of it. You need to understand how the game is played so that you don't get played.
And in 2004, they made their first significant acquisition, buying State Street Research and Management's holding company, SSRM Holding Inc., from MetLife for $325 million in cash and $50 million in stock. And this was only the beginning. We are aware, to some extent, that a handful of mega corporations and private investment companies dominate every aspect of our lives. What we watch, eat, drink, wear, buy, and go is all dictated. It is all less of a person.
Dictated. Do you understand the definition of dictated? Dictated is when it's controlled. 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 This ain't no conspiracy. This is how the world works.
Or what is fed to us by corporations. All of these investment firms are so enormous that they control the money flow worldwide. While there appear to be hundreds of competing brands on the market, the truth is, larger parent companies actually own multiple smaller brands, like Russian nesting dolls.
Russian nesting dolls. If you guys are familiar with Russian nesting dolls, it's the idea that there's a company inside of a company inside of a company inside of a company. It's so fucking deep. Wait till we get into Nestle and the food supply and all that shit.
PepsiCo, for example, owns a long list of food, beverage, and snack brands, as does Coca-Cola, Nestle, General Mills, Unilever, Mars, Kraft Heinz, and Associated British Foods. Together, these parent companies monopolize the packaged food industry, as virtually every food brand available belongs to one of them. These companies are publicly traded and are run by boards, where the...
Who do you think owns those companies?
Largest shareholders have power over the decision-making. And here is where it gets interesting. Because when you look up who the largest shareholders are, you find yet another monopoly. While the topmost shareholders can change from time to time, based on shares bought and sold, two companies are consistently listed among the top institutional holders of these parent companies. The Vanguard Group, Inc. and BlackRock, Inc.
I'm going to show you guys...
On Sunday, Israel's war cabinet met to decide how to respond. Benny Gantz said Israel will respond when the time is right. And Defense Minister Yoav Gallant urged an international coalition against Iran.
Reuters is reporting that Turkey acted as a mediator between Iran and the U.S. It said Iran informed Turkey in advance of the operation, and Washington told Tehran that any action it took had to be, quote, within certain limits.
After the attack, President Joe Biden and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talked by phone. Biden reportedly told Netanyahu, "You gotta win, take a win," and urged him to carefully think through the consequences of any retaliation. He also said the U.S. won't participate in any strike against Iran.
The president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
Yet some U.S. lawmakers say the U.S. should support an Israeli retaliatory strike.
I think a proportionate response here. I think one option would be to take out the facilities where these drones and rockets came from and also destroy the manufacturing facilities that build the drones and rockets.
Former Israeli ambassador to the UN and Knesset member Danny Danone told CBN News he believes a great defense is not enough.
We have to show also our offensive capabilities in order to create deterrence in the region against Iran. They attacked a sovereign country with 300 rockets, missiles and UAVs, and we cannot sit idly by. My position is that we have to hit them hard to teach them a lesson that they will not do it again.
I want to ask you, the Israeli war cabinet reportedly believes they should strike back, but they're divided over how to do it. What are you hearing?
Well, yesterday they met for about 4 hours, Wendy, and in fact, it appears like they're meeting right now exactly how they're going to respond. It's clear that Israel will respond. We understand that the IDF has presented plans and options to the war cabinet. You know, whether or not how they do that remains to be seen. You know, Congressman McCall said maybe they could strike those drones or the factories that built those and the ballistic missiles. They could also strike Iran's oil production. Even its nuclear sites, something that people have been talking about for years, could be cyber attacks. Right now, and reportedly, Benny Gantz, who's in the war cabinet, and also retired General Gadi Eisenkot, they recommend hitting Iran actually while the attack was underway.
Israel, Chris, and its allies shut down virtually all the incoming drones and missiles, as you just mentioned. But do those defensive weapons cost Israel a lot of money? And what do we... What else did we learn about Israel's defenses?
Yeah, well, those interceptors, sometimes they cost thousands of dollars, sometimes tens of thousands, just for one of those interceptors. On the other hand, you have relatively low-cost drones coming, but those ballistic missiles as well. Part of the strategy, Wendy, was to overwhelm the anti-missile system, but actually it was a tremendously impressive counter-strategy that was built over several years of anti-missile layers, beginning with Jordan, Saudi Arabia, also the coordination with the UK, the US, France, and really just an impressive layers of anti-missile strategy, many of them, those the US allies, and as I noted, some of the Abraham Accords nations, like the UAE and perhaps a future Abraham Accord nation like Saudi Arabia.
On Sunday, Israel...
The reason that
Israel is bad for Palestinian children the same way, well, these guys are bad for children, period. And I'm not trying to make light of a very...
5 months...
If you take...
Chris, what's the response there to President Biden saying the U.S. will not help Israel if it retaliates against Iran? Because...
On Sunday...
Chris, what's the response there to President Biden saying the U.S. will not help Israel if it retaliates against Iran? Because, in fact, it was helping block some of those missiles the other night, right?
Yeah. Well, they'll help defensively, but they really don't want to go on the offense. They don't want to be offensive, have an offensive plan along with Israel to attack and come against, retaliate against Iran. Maybe given their restraints over Gaza, it's not surprising. And the Biden administration, going back to the Obama administration, and many of the same officials are in both cabinets, there's a history of appeasement with Iran. Now, some have told me that there's maybe an opportunity, given the favor that Israel has just temporarily, maybe they can restore those sanctions on Iran. But the question is, Wendy, if Israel does attack, where it's going to be, when it's going to be, and what's going to be against.
Chris, on Sunday, Israel's war cabinet met to decide.
Attack is over. Israel's defense minister says the confrontation is not. What is the United States assessment of where things stand this morning? Is this over?
Now, whether and how the Israelis will respond, that's going to be up to them. We understand that and respect that. But the president's been very clear. We don't seek a war with Iran. We're not looking for escalation here. We will continue to help Israel defend itself.
Are you, as we sit here right now, aware of any threats to U.S. troops in the region?
We are staying vigilant to exactly that potential threat, but we have not seen any attacks on U.S. troops or personnel in the region or our facilities. Nothing to report to this morning, but we're going to obviously watch that very, very closely.
Just a lot of people watched what happened in the skies over the Middle East overnight, and they are wondering this morning, has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to. And the
but has it? Is are we now in the midst of a wider war?
The president doesn't believe that it needs to move in that direction whatsoever, Kristen. So the president's been clear. We don't want to see this escalate. We don't. We're not looking for a wider war with Iran. I think you know, the coming hours and days will tell us a lot.
NBC News is reporting that President Biden, talking about the diplomatic outreach, told Prime Minister Netanyahu that the United States will not participate in offensive operations against Iran. Can you confirm that?
I won't go into the greater detail of the conversation with the Prime Minister. They did have a good chat last night.
What was the message? What was the broad message?
It was very clearly, you know, we stand with you in your self-defense. That was the main message that the president delivered to the prime minister. Again, I just go back to what the president has said time and time again. We don't seek an escalation. We don't seek a wider war in the region.
So did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported? Has Israel given the United States any assurances that it will give the U.S. a warning, a heads up, before it moves forward with any type of counterattack?
Whether and how the Israelis respond is going to be up to them. I'm certainly not going to get ahead of their decision making.
If Israel does move forward with retaliatory strikes, are you concerned that that he will not be responsible about it, given that the United States was not given a heads up before Israel lobbed that attack in Syria against Iranian officials?
We have, and we will stay in touch with our Israeli counterparts so that the information flow is as robust as possible.
Republican lawmakers are calling for the United States to respond directly to Iran. Has President Biden ruled out the U.S. launching a direct attack?
As I said, the president has made it clear. We do not seek a war with Iran. We don't seek a wider war.
Is a direct attack off the table? Is it off the table?
As the president said, we don't seek a war with Iran.
But the United States already involved to some extent, though, given that, as you say, it did counter a number of those drones that were directed towards Israel.
Yes, that was a purely defensive mission. It was completely consistent with our obligations and our commitments to the defense of Israel. And again, Kristen, it wasn't just us. Other nations participated as well.
How many drones, how many missiles did the U.S. shoot out of the sky?
I don't know what the final tally is. I think the Department of Defense will probably be looking at that. But I think it's safe to say several dozens of drones and missiles that the United States helped down.
President Biden said this week that Prime Minister Netanyahu's actions in Gaza are a, quote, mistake. Do you trust his judgment in deciding how to respond to these attacks?
He's the prime minister of Israel. He's the elected leader of their government. We're going to continue to work with him, advise him, provide counsel and perspective, as well as make clear he knows, and I think he does certainly from last night, that the United States will continue to help them defend themselves.
Your reaction to what Iran has done?
Well, it's obvious that it was a major humiliation for the Israeli regime. They crossed the red line. And they got punished for it. Of course, the Israelis can say 110% of the drones and missiles were downed. That's fine. But they can also take journalists to see the bases that the Iranians have said were severely damaged. They can easily do that today or tomorrow.
Are you sure it's major? Because I saw on Twitter you said it was just a small slap in the face.
Oh, it was a small slap in the face for Iran. The two bases were severely damaged. But Iran has a huge stockpile of drones and missiles, and Iran hasn't used its most advanced weapons. So if there's
what would they be, Professor? Nuclear weapons?
No, they're more advanced drones and missiles. Iran is not like the United States, which has and uses and has already used nuclear weapons. Iran's peaceful program, as we've seen over the years, has been peaceful, and there's never been any evidence to show otherwise. But Iran has more advanced drones and missiles, and the very fact that the Americans don't want to be a part of any Israeli counter-response shows that the Americans know where the power lies. So the smart thing for the Israeli regime to do would be to refrain from responding. They got their punishment, and they should live with it. They can say that 200% of the drones were downed and 300% of the missiles were down, but as long as they keep quiet, they'll be safe. But if they strike Iran again, it's going to get much worse.
And do you think that could happen?
Well, the Israeli regime is a genocidal regime. It has no morality. It has its leaders are not sane in the way in which we would view people as sane. No sane person carries out genocide. But I think they also are calculating what will happen. If the regime continues to attack Iran, then Iran will attack harder next time. And then if they do it again, Iran will continue to strike back. And that is not something that's sustainable for such a small and vulnerable regime, which is already lost on the battlefield in Gaza and on the border with Lebanon.
Do you think either government has the best interests of its people at heart?
Yes, Iran definitely does. Iran is protecting its citizens. The Israeli regime bombed an Iranian embassy, murdering people, and your government, the British government, refused to condemn it at the UN Security Council. The US government and the French government refused to do that. So when the West prefers the law of the jungle, and when they believe that they can strike and kill and carry out genocide whenever they want, but others cannot respond when they are attacked, then the rest of the world has to devise means by which to protect themselves. And the reason why Iran has such a powerful missile and drone capability that even Western capitals acknowledge grudgingly is because Iran has to protect itself from these sort of aggressive actions.
See what's going on. Had a lot on my mind, reminiscing, trying to figure out these things that are going on my mind, trying to figure out some puzzles. I'm not here to start nothing. I ain't trying to start nothing. Just got some things that I want to get done, some things that I want to get solved, some things I want to enlighten myself with. So maybe y'all take a time and to get the opportunity to stop by and listen to my thoughts. Hope so. Very intellectual. So, if you get time, just holler at me. I'm reminiscing all in my room, just trying to figure out a whole lot of things. Until then, y'all have a great day, and thank you for coming in and listening to me.